blessing is looking for work in our hand. God knows our trudging through the great wilderness, hard times. God's speaking about his people and he says, I know you guys were working hard. He says, these 40 years the Lord has been with you. You lacked nothing. God's people had everything they needed. Why? Because they worked hard and God blessed their work. If you're on the JV team and you want to make varsity, that's not going to get handed to you on a silver platter. God's waiting for you to put your work in. God's waiting for you to hit harder, to run faster. God's waiting for you to throw the ball more accurately. God is waiting for you to put the work out there on the field so he can bless it, so your effort can be multiplied on a field. It's the same thing if you're pulling C's and D's and F's in school. God's waiting for you to put your hand to paper, to put the work in late at night to get the work done so you could do that. If you are waiting to stop hating your mom because she's so frustrating to you and she gets on your nerves, God's waiting for you to do the work of forgiveness. He's waiting for you to do the work of prayer. He's waiting for you to do the work of saying, I'm sorry, so he can bless the work of restoration in your hand. That's what God's waiting to do. If you've ever said, where is God? God's saying, I'm right here. Where are you? And I'm talking to myself tonight as well, because I think one of the biggest sins we love to do is the sin of laziness. Have you ever thought about laziness as a sin?
I know, right? Dang, Badaya. Dang!
You ever thought about that? I just want to relax. 5 more minutes. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. Well, maybe a little bit guilty. Just a little bit guilty. Because that's what gets the job done, right? But think about it. Laziness is a sin. Now, I'm not saying taking a day off or sleeping in is wrong. I'm not saying eating last night's pizza for breakfast is a bad idea. Well, no, it's never a bad idea. But I am saying this, is that if our life, if the goal of your life is to be as comfortable as you want, my friends, I think you've fallen into the trap of laziness. It's funny because we think, whenever we think of hard work, or whenever we think that things are difficult, all of a sudden I, Pastor Richard, thinks, what did I do wrong? God's cursing me. How can I get out of this? But the truth of the matter is, God's the one that gives us hard work to do. Think about the very beginning, right? You have Adam and Eve and the garden. Well, did you know that before Adam and Eve ever sinned, they had a job to do? They were given work. That tells me work is never a curse. Work is a blessing. My dad's old. He's retired, right? And my dad, you know, he used to work at the prison, so that makes for a lot of really cool stories when you're a kid. but he retired, and he would tell me that he had friends that would retire from their work. And he said, usually within 5 years, people that retire die. Like, that's jacked up. Because you don't retire when you're super old. You still got some years in you. But he said a lot of times what happens is when people retire, within 5 years, they usually die because they don't have anything to do with their life. They don't have to wake up and go to work. And what happens is when people who retire, they don't find something new to do, their life begins to give up on them. The work that they had done so much to get out of work, you know, the thing that they were trying to get out was the thing that was keeping them alive. And a lot of times, if you ever find that you aren't happy in life, if you find that you have depression creeping up on you, or you just get super frustrated all the time, check yourself. Because maybe the things that you're trying to get out of are the very things that God's trying to use to bless you and take you to the next place in your life. Homework, work, 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 home, work, not, you know, never mind. But homework might be the best thing that's ever happened to you. And I know that's crazy talk, but sometimes Pastor Richard's kind of crazy. Two-a-days and hell week that your coach puts you through may be a good thing for you, because it's those things that God's going to use in your life to bring his will into your life, to get his will done right in front of your face. The Bible says this. It says in Proverbs 12:24, it says, the hand of the diligent will rule. the hand of the diligent will rule. They'll rise to the top. They will be the leaders. They'll be the front. They'll be in the front. The Bible says that the hand of people that work hard, that are not afraid of doing difficult things, they're the ones that don't complain when they get one more thing to do. They're the ones that rule. But the lazy man is the one that gets put to forced labor. They're the ones that live the life of a slave. And I don't know if you remember a couple weeks ago, but I don't want to be a slave to those things. If I'm going to work, if I have to do it anyway, then I want it to bring me farther. I don't want it to hold me back, because everybody's got to work, right? Some people work very hard at doing nothing. They work very hard at avoiding all the work they can. I remember people would work and scheme so hard back when I was in school and find out all the different ways they could cheat on tests. And I thought, gosh, if you would just put that much work that you've tried to figure out how to cheat on that test to actually studying, you would have earned it. It's right, right? Like, what are we really doing? Sometimes we put so much work into trying to get out of it. If we just flipped the script and actually did it, we would become better and more blessed because of it. We've got to watch ourselves, because the sin of laziness is one that feels so good. It feels so good being lazy sometimes and just binging on Netflix, right? Just binging on YouTube, like just another one, another one, another one, another one, another one, right? And it's so easy to get stuck into it. But we've got to fight that. We got to resist the want to do nothing. And the Bible says we need to be diligent so God can call us to rule. See, every Christian in this room, where are my Christians at? Any Christians in the house? All right, cool. The room is live now. A Christian is always two things. You are a follower. Your parents say, don't be such a follower. Too bad you're a Christian. Because we're following Jesus. Because we're supposed to follow Jesus, right? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Everybody's a follower. You just got to make sure you're following the right person. Otherwise, you end up in a ditch. But that's a different story. Every Christian's a follower. But every Christian's also a leader. You have to be both. What did Paul say? Follow me. That's what we do. We follow as I follow Christ. Oh, wait, he's leading too. You're following somebody, Jesus, so that you can have other people follow you to him. See, that's why it's important that we learn how to hustle, how we learn how to work, how we learn how to put our head down and just plow through the things that God puts in front of us. Because your life is leading other people somewhere. If you got a little brother and sister, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because they repeat the things that you say. If you have a little brother or sister, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But what we don't realize is that you have other people following and looking after you. Especially if they know that you go to church. Oh, they were a Christian. I know what Christians are like. Judgmental. Mean. They don't like this or that or this or that. I know people who go to church. I know that. I used to go to church. Oh, I used to be a Christian. And they're looking at you. They're looking at your lead to see where it takes them. To say, you know what, this God thing might be worth it. We're leading somebody. The hand of the diligent will rule. I got places to go. I got people to see. I got dreams to accomplish in my life. And I have things that God's put in my life that I want to see done. So I've got to be diligent, because the hand of the diligent rules. There's this funny story. If you're a church kid, you know the story about David and Goliath, right? We all know the story about David and Goliath. Good. That means I don't got to recap a whole lot. In 1 Samuel 16:17, there's a story about David and Goliath. But really, it's more of a story about David and Saul. See, Saul was the king at the time. Funny, because he was really tall, and David was really short. Makes people like me feel very good. And Saul was the tallest dude in the kingdom, you know? That's why they said, that guy. The tall dude, make him king. He's cute and tall, and he got nice biceps. Put him in charge. So what do? Make a big old throne and put him on it. So King Saul's doing his thing, except the problem is he doesn't always finish the job. Kind of lazy. Didn't start that way, but he got that way. So here he is, on top of this hill. And on top of this hill is all the armies that Saul has. And then you go down the canyon in this valley. And then another hill. And on the other side of the hill are the bad guys, the Philistines. That's right. Boo. Nobody likes them. So what they do is they say, look, why should everybody die? Let's just kill special people, like the tallest people. Let's put our tallest guy against your best guy. So the Philistines get this dude named Goliath. I don't know, 7, 8, 9 feet. Some people say 13. Maybe he ate all of his chicken when he was little. Who knows? This big, tall dude, taller than everybody else. They put him up there, and he starts making fun of King Saul's people, because that's what you do. You talk trash. So what does King Saul do? He says, I have a great idea. Let's wait. And wait. So every day, Goliath comes out, drops a bunch of F-bombs, making fun of these guys. You're ugly, and your mom, and your God's stupid too. Bah! And every day, for 40 days, King Saul and his people walk out, and they take it. They listen to all the things being said about them, and Saul sits in his tent, sitting, doing nothing. But one day, this teenage boy named David, little redhead dude, kind of cute, walks up and says, hey, cheese delivery. Oh, what's going on? So here he is, waking up early in the morning, delivering some cheese, like all the redhead kids do back in the day. And he says, what's going on here? Why is that? Who's that big dude over there making fun of everybody? Hey, this is kind of jacked up. Somebody should do something about this. So what does he do? He walks into the boss and says, boss! Well, maybe not that way. He says, king! What's going on, man? Why is anybody fighting this guy? Isn't that how it works? You're pretty tall. Oh, wait, never mind. I don't mean to be salty or anything. But so the king says, well, what are we going to do? David says, well, I don't know. I work pretty hard. I think I could take care of this guy. I've killed a lion and a bear and, you know, and a tiger, oh my, and all these things happen. So I think I could kill those. I could kill this guy. This guy is not that ugly. So the king says, all right, do it. David goes out, throws a rock at his head, kills him, chops his head off. Done story. Kind of nice. This is the story of David, Goliath, and Saul. But if you look at the king, Saul, and you look at David, you see two very different people. You see the difference between someone that doesn't have any hustle in them. They don't have that work. They don't have that ethic that says, I'm going to go out and do whatever it takes, and I'm going to trust God to get me to the place I want to be. See, the question is, did God want King Saul to lose? No. That was his dude, man. That was God's chosen guy. God said, let's make this guy the king. You want him? Let's do this. But the problem was Saul wouldn't budge. So God had to find somebody that would do work to bless his hand to make sure his people won. Saul missed it because he was lazy. Saul missed it because he was scared. Saul missed it because he wasn't looking the way God was. He saw it as a problem, not an opportunity. You see, when you've got hustle, as a part of the way you live life, it makes you somebody that you can count on. Can your parents count on you? Can your friends count on you? If someone needs you, says, look, bro, I need you in the pinch, man. This is important. I need you. Can they count on you to give your best? Because that's the kind of work ethic we need. And see, Saul could not be counted on. 40 days, this big, tall dude comes out and threatens to kill everybody. 40 days, he hears God getting made fun of. 40 days, it just gets one day closer to everybody getting killed, all because Saul would not get up and do his job. He was the tallest guy. He was the best candidate to kill Goliath. But he didn't work. He was lazy. He waited for somebody else to do his job. 1 Samuel 17:11, it says, the people's hearts were dismayed. They could not count on their king. Can people count on you? Do we just wait? Do we just sit back and wait? Or can your coach count on you? Can your best friend count on you? Can your parents count on you? Look, can the person next to you, when someone's in need, can they count on you? Because Saul could not be relied on for anybody's business. But all of a sudden, King David, the little boy David, comes up, and he put others first. He said, you know what? These people have a need. I mean, first off, he was delivering cheese. that's not very exciting. He was basically the FedEx guy delivering an Amazon Prime order. Three blocks of cheese for my brothers. He woke up early in the morning. He did a boring job. He showed up, saw this big old dude, and he's like, you know, I'm a handle him. I'm going to take care of him. King David says, look, or excuse me, the little boy David says to the king Saul, he says, Saul, nobody needs to worry. I'll handle it. Nobody needs to worry. I'm going to handle business. He grabs his rocks, he grabs his slingshot, runs down the hill, and starts popping heads off, man. He just goes for it without hesitation. Can people rely on you? Okay, this is what I'm trying to get at. Can people rely on you to get the job done? That when you say you're going to do it, you're going to do it. But even bigger than that, we always talk about trusting God, right? We need to trust God to come through for us. We need to trust God that he's going to answer prayers. I'm going to trust God to heal me. I'm going to trust God that his word is true. But flip the script. Can God trust us? I know I can trust God. Let God be found true and every man a liar. But can God trust me? There's 8 billion people in this world, only one of you. 8 billion people in this world, only one of you. So God made you to do a job that no one else can do. There's 8 billion people out there, and you're the best one. You are the best you out of 8 billion people on 7 continents. And I'm not even counting penguins. And God put you here because only you can do that thing that you can do. Can he trust you to get it done? Because if you don't do it, nobody else in this entire world will. There's only one you. And you're the best you out there. I know that. I've tried to be other people, and I'm terrible at it. Unfortunately, I'm best at being Richard Dean Villanueva Jr. That's me. And nobody else can be as good as I can at me. And God needs me to show up. Put the work down so I can get the job done that he's called me to do. And King Saul was supposed to go out and save his people, but God had to raise up David to do a fairly good job at it. And you know what happened? King Saul got fired. And that little boy David took his job. You see, the only thing the king could see were the things that he couldn't do. And that stopped his work. And what happens is we think I'm bad at math. We think, you know what, it's too hard. I can't. I'm not strong enough, fast enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not brave enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not a Christian long enough. All we can see is how much we can't. My family's not like this. My family's broken. I'm an orphan. We think, all we see are the things that are wrong with us, right? First thing you do when you see a group picture is look for yourself. Second thing you do is find everything wrong with you. Ooh, 2 chins. Oh, it shows my blemish. Oh my gosh, what's wrong with my hair? Ooh, my toes. How many toes do I have in this picture? The first thing you do is look for yourself. The second thing you do is find everything wrong with you. And we look for every reason why we're not pretty enough, why we're not smart enough, fast enough, not skinny enough. When God says, don't focus on what you can't do, but focus on what you can do. That little boy David said, I can't wear your armor. I can't use a sword. He says, I'm not that tall and I'm not that old. The best thing I can do is play guitar. But what I do have is a rock and a little piece of leather so I could do that really good. So I'm going to throw a rock at this dude's head. I'm going to do the best I can with what I can. And he won the day and beat the strongest warrior on the other side. He put his work out there. And even if it wasn't enough, God made it work. Your best failure is better than your worst rejection of work. You see, 50% is better than 0%. Right? And if you give 50%, then God could bless it to be 100%. Right? You guys know your times tables. 1 times 0 is? 5 times 0 is? a million times zero is? Infinity times zero is zero. 5 times 7 times 30 times 100 times 5,632 times zero is? If you have zero work to put in, then God has nothing to work with to bless you. That's the way it works. So you got to put something in. I tell my interns, I tell people this. You will get out of it what you put into it. And sometimes we get so frustrated with our family, with our job. We get so frustrated with school because we're not getting anything out of it because we're not putting anything into it. God can only bless the work of our hand if there's work in our hand. If we can't, if you can't do it, then you, if you can't put your work in it, then God can't bless you. Not because he don't want to, because you're not letting him. You got to pray. You got to hustle. Then you got to repeat. See, I told that to Mark and the workers earlier and they laughed at me. So let's do this. Everybody stand up. I know you got to work. Work your thighs out. It's like a reverse.